Shalom, Havarim, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my special lady and teacher of God's Word, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Erev Tov and Shalom to all. We are studying the letter from Jude written to those who have sincerely answered the call. Is that you? And remember, all our past programs are rock high on shofarministries.net. Honey, please open us in prayer.
Abba, Father, and Lord over all, we exalt you and reverence you through the study of your word, which is the highest form of worship. We lift up to you all the children engulfed in child trafficking, and to give our representatives a passion to pursue an end to this horrendous evil syndicate. Bless this program and all the listeners. Hear their personal requests as they pray for salvation for all our loved ones. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
Biden news?
Oh, well, yes, for sure. Devin Archer, Hunter's friend and former business partner, was interviewed, as probably most of you know, in a closed-door hearing by the House Oversight Committee yesterday. And he gave us a lot more details about President Biden's involvement. And he did say Joe was on multiple speaker calls when essentially bribing other countries. A full transcript will be forthcoming later this week. We seem to be finally getting into the real truth, since it is estimated that the Bidens have taken in excess of $50 million from foreign nationals. And that, my friends, is pay-to-play fraud.
Old Joe is surrounded by a lot of smoke.
It's called influence peddling. He's been continually lying about his involvement, and now most know it. Except, of course, most of the Dems who just keep drinking the Kool-Aid. But it is so disgusting to sell out one's own America for money and woke power.
And the sad part, he still has over a year to go.
Imagine what else he can do to us.
Do you have any more info on Devin Archer?
On Devin Archer, yes. He and a few co-conspirators have been convicted of defrauding an Indian tribe for selling bonds and using it for personal gain instead of investing in annuities. Even though Hunter was a part of the scheme, he was the only one not charged. This could be why Devin is talking to Congress, even though the House does not have the authority to reduce his one-year prison term or lower the monetary fine. And he was not under oath yesterday. However, it's supposed to be a crime to lie to Congress.
But rarely enforced, as in Dr. Fauci.
True.
Some Israeli news?
Yes. Protesting continues, and Bibi is prepared to make some small changes if a consensus is met. Meanwhile, secret negotiations continue between the United States and Saudi Arabia. But the brunt of these talks really concern Israel's cooperation, which mainly means a two-state solution for the Palestinians with their capital in Jerusalem. And this is a big one, and retreat back to the 1967 pre-war lines. Anyhow, this, along with the Abraham Accords, I think could be the foundation for Daniel 9's prophecy.
Question remains, will Bibi adhere?
Not without a significant compromise, I'm sure. Ever since Saudi Arabia made an agreement on March 10th to restore diplomatic relations with Iran, Israel has been anxious to make a deal that will pull Saudi Arabia away from Iran. And Saudi Arabia knows this and is using it for leverage.
Is it true what the Pope recently said?
Oh, gosh, that's another thing. I have to wonder, because it's shocking and certainly an 180-degree turnaround. But the conservative news outlet, it's called The People's Voice, as well as Dave Hodges of The Common Sense Show, recently said that Pope Francis has thrown his weight behind the World Economic Forum's campaign to contemplate euthanasia for people with autism, alcoholism, and other illnesses and disabilities in order to help humanity fight climate change. Can you believe it?
So that's entirely different from what he said even a year ago.
Yeah, it is. But then again, he's made a lot of terrible comments, like, you know, like you can't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And lately, pedophilia is a disease, and they have a special place in heaven for them. And the list is long.
Okay. We do welcome all of your comments and end-time questions either by email to shofarministries.net or call the office, leaving a detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings are very much appreciated, and any correspondence will automatically add you to our newsletter list. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where you will also find our past radio and teaching newsletters, all archived for your learning pleasure.
Well, thank you, honey. So, as we like to do, let's give just a short overview of what we covered in the book of Jude so far. And by the way, we do encourage you to go to our webpage, shofarministries.net, to listen or re-listen to any of our hundreds of programs.
And only this generation is very blessed to have that capability.
I know. Imagine that.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that's because we are special. And even if you don't have your own computer, the libraries do. And they are free to use with a very helpful staff to show you how to use them.
And libraries are handicap friendly.
That's right. No excuse these days. That is, if you really want to learn and to be more informed. But it's always your choice.
Okay, Jude is addressing the called out ones.
Yep, right off the bat, Jude says he was compelled to write about contending for the faith because, and we know from the knowledge in Genesis 3, there is an evil seed being already condemned. Ungodly men of old who have crept in unnoticed, or as Jesus said, they are wolves in sheep's clothing, as in Matthew 7, verse 15.
Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves.
So, Christians, we need to take that seriously because we often forget to look for the wolves. You know, we are his sheep and Jesus is our shepherd. But especially today, there are ravenous wolves who have infiltrated the church, spreading untruths and thereby causing division and chaos amongst even the true believers, diverting it in any way he can from the Word of God. A classic example, of course, is denying the pre-trib rapture. Imagine that God would even think about his bride being here for that horrendous judgment.
Well, yeah, because it's meant pretty unrighteous.
And in Matthew 13, Jesus references them also as tares among the wheat. The wheat, of course, being a metaphor for us. We also covered some of God's past judgments to draw attention to the fact that God does indeed judge, and used some detailed examples, of which we will see a few more of those tonight.
And, you know, he's not done yet.
Right. As we all know, the big one's coming. In fact, we are already seeing on a much lighter scale foreshadows of what the seal judgments will be like, as in pestilence, strange weather patterns,
wars and rumors of war.
Oh, right. And don't forget deception.
Big time there.
Yes.
Well, we discussed where the giants came from.
Yes, Jude referenced them also as men of old, meaning they've been around for a very long time and actually are still here today, but in a different form, as I wrote about in our newsletter that went out on Sunday. Satan has always wanted to corrupt the human race, so to worship him.
And to take the future mark.
Oh, yeah, which just might be able to change one's DNA.
And, you know, many will run to it.
Oh, yeah. Some are wanting it right now just to pay for goods. And they'll believe the lie, the same lie that Eve was deceived by.
We can all become as gods.
And we are seeing Satanism and Luciferianism really taking off as well. People are just turning themselves over to the enemy. It's similar to how, like, Nimrod turned himself over, even knowing what happened during his great-grandfather's Noah's day. And by the way, the point in understanding what is soon about to happen is so unbelievers will receive Jesus as their Savior.
So they, too, can escape what is coming.
And we showed last week how, according to Jude, Peter, and John in Revelation 9, that very evil entities will be let loose upon the earth as part of the coming final judgment. And 2 Peter 2 gives more confirmation that this is truth. And it will happen as God says.
Another example was the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yes, gross immorality was totally accepted and encouraged.
Just like here in America.
Mm-hmm. And so many other countries, even Israel. However, not yet accepted in all countries like Russia, India, and some African countries or Muslim countries.
Bottom line, sodomy is demonic.
It is. And we left off last week in verses 8 and 9, where this time Jude uses the synonym dreamers for false teachers, because many do testify that they had dreams or visions to purposely declare new doctrines.
Yeah, well, you know, as in Mormons or Jehovah Witnesses.
Islam and others, too,
mm-hmm.
which has proven to be very problematic. On the other hand, there are some good, well-meaning Christians who just assume their dreams are from God, but can be deceived. Dreamers are very popular amongst the signs and wonders groups. Just one example out of many is where I read that a Christian had a dream that a tsunami took out the East Coast and would happen within a few months.
Well, that was over 7 years ago.
And when asked about it, he said, well, God must have changed his mind because we all prayed. Because we all prayed. Do you see the hook here? So he cannot be called out. That's the excuse often given to justify rather than admit that the dream probably was not from God, but likely from the enemy, so to ridicule and to discredit the body of Christ. But many really do sincerely believe their dreams are from God, and some are. However, there are also those, like wolves in sheep's clothing, who are sent amongst the brethren to deceive. And I know that's hard for us to believe because we want to trust everyone, especially when they say they are a Christian.
Test all dreams by the word of God.
For sure. All direct contradictions should be dismissed. And again, there are the real God-ordained dreams that some have, but not on a regular basis. But honestly, what is truly exciting is that many of the unsaved, particularly Muslims and Jewish people, are experiencing amazing salvation dreams and thereby accepting Yeshua as their Messiah. These are those dreams that Joel 2:28 prophesied would happen in the last days.
And the great end time sign for sure.
Just be wise, because the devil is a counterfeiter and deception is his middle name. And by the way, in case you don't already know this, no one is above temptation. We also emphasized last time to use the name of Jesus or Yeshua when up against demonic forces, as well as speaking out loud the word of God,
which is our two-edged sword.
And tonight that brings us to verse 10. And continuing in the same vein of these evil, false infiltrators who
speak evil of whatever they do not know. And whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts.
As in they act on animal instinct.
In these things they corrupt themselves.
As in bestiality and idol animal worship. In other words, they act like animals on fleshly instinct instead of the knowledge of God. And verse 11.
Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the error of Balaam, for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah.
Korah.
Is it Korah? Okay.
Yeah. Okay, here we see some other times of judgment, as in Numbers 16. And wow, this one had to be quite a sight in the days of Korah. Of rebellion against God through Moses that began with Korah and his sons from the tribe of Levi, and then spread to 250 of their infamous leaders, and finally 14,700 that then fell down into the earth.
The earth just opened up and swallowed them whole.
Yep. Tell me God hasn't judged before. And the reason I say that is because I think of 2 Peter 3, verse 4, as he quotes people who say, well, all things continue as they were from the beginning.
Not so.
Mm-mm. Okay, let's talk about the way of Cain. You know, Hebrews 11 helps us out by saying Cain lacked faith in who God really was. And Genesis 4 says Cain was angry about doing the offering. So he really couldn't have known God to be able to lie to him about killing Abel, because otherwise Cain would know God would see it all. So to go in the way of Cain means one doesn't fully believe in who God is.
And then there's Balaam.
Yes, in Numbers 22 through chapter 24. He was once a true prophet who would talk to God so easily. He made sacrifices using clean animals, showing that he understood proper requirements, but then became an apostate and tried to curse the Israelites. Therefore, we see Jude includes him in with other apostates. We also see in Numbers 24, verse 2, that at one time the Spirit of the Lord fell upon Balaam. And that's a big deal in the Old Testament. And as well, Balaam refers to the Lord as my God in chapter 22, verse 18.
How sad that greed overcame him.
Balaam did resist King Balak of Moab for quite some time, but eventually caved and then tried to curse the Israelites for money from the king. But only blessings came out of his mouth.
He should have left it alone right there and repented.
Oh, no. And this is the worst part. Instead, he went and told King Balak how to make the Israelite men sin by fornicating with the Midianite women and eating their food sacrificed to idols. That way, Balaam knew God himself would punish the Israelite men. And so, God did once again judge those who sinned, sending plagues that killed 24,000, being sure to include all the males that had sinned as well. Then Moses killed 12,000 more men inside the land of Midian, and their male children as well. And he only spared the virgin females, bringing them then back to Israel.
Obviously, there was a bad seed God did not want to spread.
Oh, for sure. I encourage you to read the whole account beginning in Numbers 22. The bottom line is, God does correct and judge the people, and he will again. However, anyone can escape it through the blood of Jesus. So, continuing with describing these apostates in verse 12.
These are spots,
or ugly stains,
in your love feast.
This is friends and family get-togethers.
While they feast with you without fear, serving only for themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead.
Spiritually and later physically.
Pulled up by the roots.
Well, they're easily pulled because there's no foundation. So Jude makes it very clear there is no hope for apostates. And 2 Peter 2:20 confirms it too. Honey, please read that.
For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome.
Meaning to deny Christ.
The latter end is worse for them than the beginning. Or it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them.
Wow, that's heavy.
It is.
But it was their choice to turn away. We're talking outward denial now of Christ as God. And it's rare, but some do. And there is more confirmation of this again in Hebrews 6, verses 4 through 6.
For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away,
apostatize by denying Christ,
to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame.
Again, this is rare to totally deny Christ. We might drift a little bit. I think a lot of people have, and some get out of fellowship. It's called backsliding. But we eventually come to our senses. And I know it's happened to a lot, including myself. We have the foundation and we love the Lord. Don't always serve him well, but when we do, we do. So we're going to pick this up next time, of course. But first, let me ask, what about you? Are you tormented? Quickly turn your life over to Christ. He's your Savior. Read his word for strength and power over your enemy. Your enemy wants to torment you day and night. You need to wake up and do it right now. Don't wait another moment. Just get on your knees and ask him to come into your heart. You know, Christ suffered greatly when he was crucified for you. He paid your entire debt for your sins. He said in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door of your heart and is knocking." If you are hearing his voice, he says, "Open the door. I will come into you and I will dine with you and you with me." If you haven't done that yet, I know you're probably hearing his voice if you're listening to this program. So, open that door. Because he will not crush it in. He won't crash it in. He won't even open it. You need to open it. And it's your move. Always your choice. So don't be a fool. You too can be the beneficiary of this love story that was written in blood on a wooden cross erected in Judea almost 2,000 years ago. He's coming back soon. You don't want to miss that. The Aaronic blessing from Numbers 6:22 through 27 says, "The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." That perfect shalom. So till next time, sha'alu shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, well, you're going to prosper in ways you don't even know. You should memorize that, Psalm 122, verse 6. So till next time, shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.